Welcome to the 205 Vibe Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Earl Dotson Jr., and I am super excited because we always have great guests, but I mean, like, we got a superstar with us today. Also, you know, this is also new. I have the fine arts director, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Melissa Wolf is in the building.
Hello, happy to be here.
What's up, Melissa? So we are interviewing, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Coco Lemarie, who is being inducted into the RPS 205 Fine Arts Hall of Fame. Yeah! All right! Woo! So, Coco, I just have to ask you this right out the gate, and this kind of leads into the questions that we had prepared, but... And I'm sorry that if you can't hear me well. Can you hear me? Can you hear me a little bit? Okay. So Melissa Wolf, in preparation for our interview, sent me like the links to your work. And I was like, whoa. Like, this is really good. And this is someone who is obviously very talented, came through our system. So what I asked her, and I want to ask you too, creatively, what inspires you to create the work that you create? Like, how do you, you know, how do you get into that space? And, you know, do you visit places? Do you look at a lot of different stuff? Because it is just fantastic. So I'm just curious, as someone, as Mike myself, who is non-creative, I always wonder how those who, you know, who live in that world, how do you, what inspires you? How do you get going and do that stuff?
So I think that it just continues to evolve, really. I also think that I have a borderline problem where I say to people around me, like, I have an addiction to making, an addiction to being creative. I work out a lot of problems in my mind when I'm working in that way. So it's something that I do every day, you know, much like eating. And there's really... I sometimes wish I could bow out, actually, but there's no way to get out. So it's just kind of a part of me, and it's just a part of my daily life, right?
Fantastic. Thank you. So I'm curious. So for our listeners, I know you went to Auburn High School. Shout out to Auburn. Shout out to the Knights. What was your experience like there? What do you recall about your time at Auburn, and what do you remember?
Man, I mean, that's a rough one. I was definitely someone in high school that was a very lost in who I was, lost in my identity. I didn't necessarily have a familiar structure. So that was a very dark time, right? When I look back on it, it was a very dark time. But what Auburn gave me was incredible because it really introduced me to the arts. It introduced me to the theater world, which got me where I am today. And most importantly, above all else, is really the diversity that school has.
Sure.
I think that it's just something that you take for granted when you're there. And looking back as an adult, you're like, man, I was so lucky to have that,
sure,
to have friendships that, you know, transcended race and gender and all of that.
What a powerful thing to say. I thank you for that. That is so Rockford Public Schools, right? You've taken something that didn't sound as pleasant, but you made something great out of. You found the flowers. So that's fantastic. Where are you from? Are you from Rockford?
I grew up in the Rockford area. I also grew up for a little while in Wisconsin. Like I said, I had a rather tumultuous childhood, so it was kind of living a little bit of everywhere, right? And never really finding roots until I became an adult.
Where do you live now? Where are you at now?
Well, right now, today I was teaching. I'm a professor at Purdue, so right now I'm in Indiana.
Whoa.
But I actually just flew back in from Brussels, so I'm a little jet lagged, but I'm here for you.
Wow. So how long do you like Purdue? You like that area. I'm just curious. I'm asking, are you a basketball fan? I know they're in the tournament. They're college.
No, they definitely are. You know, I like Purdue quite a bit. It actually reminds me quite a bit, West Lafayette does, of Rockford. But we actually live in Chicago, so I am only down here a few days a week, okay. And then I go back to Chicago.
Okay. So I'm going to, you know, since Melissa is here, so I know she's kind of hanging out, but I did want her, because she is an educator, I did want her to ask a question just about the fine arts world. Please.
Sure. I want to dig in a little bit more to your time in the Rockford Public Schools. Can you talk about your fine arts journey at Auburn, some of the classes that you took that really spoke to you or ones that you could leave behind, any memories or teachers who influenced you?
Yeah. So obviously I said earlier that theater was a big part. That was kind of my introduction to the art world, really joining the theater and the Kappa program at Auburn High School. And that really gave me like a foundation and a group of people to just explore the world with. And during that time, I feel like I made a lot of great relationships, right? I had Jonathan Slager as a teacher. I think at that time, Melissa, you were there. and I think that the big one for me, and it, like that I must say, is that the biggest relationship I think that still impacts me today is probably Vicki Benson being there. So that, I mean, she was just like really helped my life turn around, and I like owe quite a bit to her.
So Coco, I'm curious now, what was Melissa like? Like what was she like? What was her teaching technique, skills?
I don't
like?
Think she was teaching at the time.
What was she doing?
I think you were just TAing at the time.
I was a student teacher. It was right before my career started.
Okay, what do you remember about her? I'm trying to get to know. What was she like?
I mean, she was definitely someone that, as I was going through my roller coaster, she was a stake in the ground. Right, she was awesome. A very grounding force. And wow. I think that when you're a young kid that is kind of lost in what you're doing in a direction. She's the perfect teacher for to be in any of those environments. Let's be serious.
Thank you, Coco. Oh, thanks a lot.
That's fantastic.
That means a lot.
So, Coco, I just looking at your work, seeing some of the things you've done, and just hearing you that answer about how you're just so grounded in what you do and you think about it a lot, that creative part. What do you try to express when you make something, right? Are you looking to say something? Is there something that you're trying to communicate to the people who see it or who buy it? What do you try to say through your work?
Yeah, so recently a lot has come up through my work. My father had a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, and he was actually completely blind his whole life. My aunt was also, and I carry those genes. So I gave birth to my son about 2 years ago, and even while I was pregnant, they were testing me to see if I was going blind. It was a really tumultuous time, but very interesting because retinitis pigmentosa is really just a sensitivity to light itself. And obviously, I spent years as a lighting designer for huge brands like Williams-Sonoma and Pottery Barn, and went on to be a design director of a lighting company. But now I'm really exploring, what does lighting look like from an artistic perspective? How can it be more inclusive? What kind of shadows and angles are we playing with? Can I play with the softness of it? And it's been just really great to explore it in that way. So it's kind of like I'm playing around with like a collectible sculptural design look, but with that inclusive undertone that's really been an essential pillar. Lighting has just always been a huge part of my practice. And so it's interesting to revisit that.
Coco, thank you. Like, you just are being so honest and up. Thank you for just opening up and sharing your personal experiences and how it impacts what you do. Is that a big part of, you know, the creative? I love talking to you, the creatives. And you said it a couple times now. How is that when you can take tragedy and bad things, and as we get older, make it turn it into something beautiful? Do you think about things in that way?
I guess, but to me, you know, abilities. I don't know. It's not tragic to me, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, some people have certain abilities and others have others.
Sure.
So I think it's, I think we're in a new era for design. I teach my students this a lot. I think this next round, we've made everything, good design is ubiquitous within our culture. Mm-hmm. I think this new era is about how do we make things sustainably? How do we shift the way what we're making? And how do we include the people that were unincluded, right? Sure. Whether that's Black and Brown Americans or whether that's people with disabilities, we need to revisit like classic designs, things that we just take for granted, and make sure that we're including everyone.
That's real. So you've done a lot. It sounds like you've done a lot in your career and all the work you've done. Is there something that stands out, something that you're really proud of that you've done or that you've created?
You know, I stepped away from theater in 2017, but I was mm-hmm. doing that for a decade before I transitioned. And I'm really, really lucky and grateful that I had that time, because I think that there's a lot of people that come out of school in their 20s and they expect to be kind of designing out the gate. Sure, but when I look back, I was not ready. Right. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And in fact, I'm just kind of getting started. I mean, the other day I said to my husband, I said, man, I can't wait to be 90. I'm going to be so good. Like really bizarre. But you can just feel how you get better with experience.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I didn't enter into industrial design, furniture design right off the bat. I'm glad that I kind of had the ability to sit back, mm-hmm. watch really good designers, work with really good designers, make, you know, profusely before I kind of entered into the world of representing my own designs.
So when Melissa takes this podcast and shares it with other students and the arts world, what advice would you give current fine arts RPS students who would like to pursue, you know, the arts as a passion or a career? What would you tell them? That's one of the most important things they should think about or
I think that the most important thing is that it's not about what you know, but it's about how you think. Right. I wasn't a very studious person in high school and stuff like that. Only once it felt like the obligation was taken away, did I get very curious about the world around me. Once I got to kind of follow my own meandering road. So, and I've been lucky where I've just kind of had this like just insatiable curiosity. The way that I think is kind of always exploring. And so I feel very much like for students today, it's about making sure that we're thinking in this explorative way, right? And having fun with it.
Sure.
Right? And then I also think that, I mean, there's a lot of pressure put on like immediately going to school or like getting into a good university or stuff like that. And I, you know, community colleges are a great place to grow.
Sure.
You don't have to have a college degree, right? I know that I'm a professor and I'm kind of going against the whole shtick. But trade schools are also a big thing. I think we're moving into a new era mm-hmm. where different types of education are going to mm-hmm. be appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I hope that not everyone just goes the college route just because everyone is doing that or expecting that or something like that.
Boy, that's real. So, Melissa, when is the Fine Arts Hall of Fame?
Sure. The Fine Arts Hall of Fame is Friday, May 10th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Illinois Bank and Trust Pavilion at Aldine Golf Club.
So, Melissa, let me ask you, how does it feel for you, you know, to have someone that you knew, one of your students, and during that time, you know, when you see them reach these kind of heights, how do you as an educator, how do you feel?
I just feel so proud, and I feel really thankful that that any student, but Coco especially, has had this opportunity to be able to really find who they are through the world of art and beyond, and share their expertise and their passion with other people who can be influenced by that same passion.
And for you, Coco, how does it feel for you to be recognized at this stage of your career by you know, the high school you went to and the people here?
Yeah, you know, it's really, really special. Like, I haven't been back other than a good friend's wedding to Rockford. So, and I don't have any family there. So it's kind of one of those things of, it's just a treat to be able to come back. And it was such a formative part of my life that it means a lot. It does.
Awesome. Before we close here, Melissa, is there anything else? Did you want to ask anything else?
Actually, yes. I know that you went to college in Chicago, but how leaving college and then going into the beginning part of your career, having that as theater and then kind of transitioning out of that, can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when I actually graduated high school and went to college, my degree at that time was marketing communications. And I was terrified to get a degree in theater because I thought I would never work. So I started by seeing if I could get a job in theater while I was in school. And I ended up getting this grant from the J.S. Kemper Foundation, which like fully funded a scholarship kind of in the avenue of my choice in theater. Once I got that, then I switched my major. I was like, okay, I think I can make a living doing this. This is important. And I kind of always knew that theater was going to be like a stepping stone, that it was going to start in one place and sort of gravitate to the next. But I ended up just being so busy over those years that kind of 10 years went by in like a blink. And then in 2017, I was given this beautiful award by the industry called the Michael Merritt Awards. And it was an award for collaboration. And that meant a lot because I felt like, you know, there's a lot of awards for artists and what they make, but not a lot for how they make it, right? And being a good collaborator is like the ultimate, I don't know, compliment for any human, right? So once I got that, I was like, okay, it's time for me to pivot. And at the time, my husband was working in Atlanta and we were living in Chicago. And so I looked at what programs were in Georgia and found SCAD. And once I found SCAD, I was like, okay, well, what's the smallest program here? I really wanted to like just hone in. And that's actually how I found furniture design. And it's interesting because it's very akin to being a scenic designer. You know, they just have different words for different things, right? Where human-centered design, you know, in another industry is character-first design, right? So, it was very natural because I was just so accustomed to designing for characters that when I transitioned into that field, it was something that I was really good at and the numbers could support that, right? So people that are shopping at these major brands really do gravitate towards certain types of products, which is great to see. So I really used graduate school to like the long and short of your question to make the pivot. But honestly, I think going to graduate school was the first time I was like ready to be in school, which is interesting because it just took so long.
That is literally like my plight as well. I felt, okay, I'm ready to do this when I went to graduate school for sure.
Yeah. And I was older than a lot of the people there. I was obviously one of the only women in a furniture program. And so it was like, I finally understood for the first time that school was about what I wanted to take out of it, rather than what was like presented to me. And so once I knew it's all about what I want to take out of it, it just became a whole new ball game and became so fun and engaging, you know, it kind of took the pressure away of having to meet somebody else's expectation.
That's fascinating. I'm curious, just you mentioned some of the teachers that you remember. That's awesome because I don't remember any of my teachers. So I respect that and appreciate that you do. But were there other, you had mentioned that there were other influences that, you know, watching some other great people who worked in your industry. Is there any other names or people that stick out or stand out in terms of who influenced you to do what you do?
You know, that's a hard one. I feel very much like there aren't a lot of other women in the field. And so that has been a challenge. But certainly there's been supporters throughout. And I don't know that I have any like one singular person or artist that I'm really, you know, that I really gravitate towards. Sure. It's kind of just never endingly looking at what are people doing in this space? So for like specific, like fine arts related, I really love like Janine Antoni. If I were to get more, you know, theatrical and whatnot, there's a lot of artists in that space, but it kind of really just depends. It matters. Sure. It bounces around quite a bit.
Well, one thing I'm guaranteeing this right now, Coco, you will be someone's influence. Someone will look at you and your work, and you will continue to be a leader. And I can see other females who get into the work and do what you do because of the trail that you're blazing. So I want to shout you out for that.
Well, that's so kind. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I mean that. So before we wrap up here, and as we wind down, every podcast, we've done a lot of these podcasts, we ask every guest the same three questions. You ready, Coco?
I'm definitely ready.
All right, let's do this. All right. So, you're relaxing at home, or, you know, you're getting into your car, you're just chilling. What does Coco Lemorie listen to? Like, is there a genre of music? Do you have a favorite artist that you like? What you rocking?
Recently, I've really been into Labyrinth. I think there's something about, like, he's like my age, and he's like part sound design, part montage.
Okay,
I've been really loving his work.
I love it. See, everybody's answer is different. I love it. Okay, all right, Coco, it's your birthday. Go, Coco. It's your birthday. It's a special occasion. And your husband says, I want to take you out. What do you have a favorite restaurant? Is there a favorite dish or meal someone can put in front of you and like, I'm going to eat this every time?
I mean, I think that the Japanese have it on lock with the sushi for sure. I think we can't even like possibly compare, right? Japanese cuisine is where it's at.
Okay. Noted. I love it. Noted. You got that, Melissa. Noted. Last one. In the world of cinema, TV, movies, is there a TV show or a movie that like you can just always watch, or is there something right now that you're kind of really into?
Oh, yeah. I have watched all 47 seasons of Antiques Roadshow. That is my jam. I can just put that on forever, and I'm so invested.
That's awesome. Coco Lemorie, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on being inducted into the RPS Fine Arts Hall of Fame. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, and wish you nothing but the best in your career and all of your future endeavors. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you on May 10th.
All right. I love it. Thank you.
We look forward to meeting you and seeing you.
It's going to be great.
Yes. Congratulations and thank you again. Thank you for listening to the 205 Vibe podcast. Subscribe to the 205 Vibe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening now. Check out the blog, videos, and news on rps205.com/205vibe.